You might be up all night. I don't know. I don't know what your evening is planned for, but we're glad that you're here to worship with us. We're going to be singing some traditional Christmas songs tonight and going into the Christmas story and learning about again and celebrating again our Lord and Savior's birth today. And so hopefully it's meaningful to you. If you got a little light when you came in, I encourage you to take that, turn it on. And we were going to do cigarette lighters, but something about, you know, being a church and, you know, the light of the world and all that stuff. But we hope that you guys have fun with that. And as we sing, feel free to stand, sit, hold your kids, relax, cookies and coffee in the back, all that good stuff. Restroom's over here to my right towards the back if you need to go. Make sure you close the door behind you. Sometimes they get propped open and, well, it gets really intimate. All right. But looking forward to worshiping with you tonight. And welcome to Grace. There's a place in the back if you're new here, if this is your first time here. You can learn more about us. You can go to copeofgrace.org. Also, there's some information there on the back table that you can take. And we hope that that you're blessed tonight by our time together. So let's go ahead and stand together. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to start off the service. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you give us moments of peace. And God, that you draw us together on nights like this. And we gather every Sunday morning as your church body. But Lord, today we celebrate a special day, the day when you sent your son Jesus to be born in a manger. And we'll celebrate that fully tomorrow. But Lord, tonight we just anticipate that celebration. And Lord, we ask that you would help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to focus upon all of those truths, Lord, that you make sure in our lives because of your son Jesus. And Lord, we do pray that there's one here tonight that just needs a special word of encouragement. Maybe someone here tonight who needs to be drawn closer to your son Jesus. And Lord, I pray that tonight we can do that. I thank you, Father, that just in this setting as a church family, we can relax and focus at the same time. Thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus, who died in our place, who rose again on our behalf. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your son, Jesus. In his name we ask it. Amen.
rejoice, Emmanuel has come. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come. He has come. He has come. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
All right, you guys can be seated if you like. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Luke 1, starting in verse 26. We're going to read the Christmas story from two different time periods, perspectives, if you want to say that. And you're probably going to be familiar with this if your family reads the Christmas story. We try to do that every year and look at the account from Matthew and then also the account from the book of Luke. And then also look at John chapter 1, which talks about Jesus coming in the flesh. And so right now we're going to be in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26 and going to 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And now the next passage is going to be from Matthew. If you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means "God with us." And Joseph arose from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you.
Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited land. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Again, we go back to Matthew, reading of the account of the Magi coming from the east in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, that I may too come and worship him." And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them, until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way.
Must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be with me now. Breath of heaven, hold me together. Be forever near me. Do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for the mercy.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, around young virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory streamed from heaven afar, the heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of deepening grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Thank you.
Well, this last Sunday, we talked about the possibility of having our worship service, our Sunday morning worship service, the upcoming one. We talked about having it at the park and scheduling and things like that have kept us from being able to do that. And so we are going to have it. We're going to meet this Sunday at our house on Yucca Lane. And so we'd love for you to come and join us. Sometimes Sunday morning crowds, the last Sunday of the year, usually pretty low. Sometimes people are traveling, things like that. And we wanted to give the custodians here at Santa Rosa Elementary School, give them a break. And so there are two that kind of work in rotation, Alicia and Esmeralda. And so we keep them busy on Sundays. And so we want to give them a Sunday off. So we're like, okay, we're not going to meet here, so where are we going to meet? And we were going to meet at the park, and then that got squashed. And so we're going to meet at our house. And so you guys come to our house. We're just going to have a very informal get-together. We're going to have some food. We're going to pray. We're going to open up the Word of God. It's not going to be a typical church service, all right? We'll be hanging from the rafters and the banister upstairs and all that good stuff. It'll be fun, all right? Well, I want to turn your attention for a moment to the passages of Scripture that I just read, which make up the whole Christmas story. And I wanted to draw your attention to a song that we sing, Joy to the World. You know that song? Joy to the World. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. All right, let every heart prepare him what? Room. And heaven and nature sing. Why should heaven and nature sing? Because he's the one that formed everything that we see. We know that the Bible says that everything that we see was created for him and through him and to him are all things. It all belongs to him. And so when he comes into his own should receive him, right? But we know from John 1 that his own received him not. But the promise there is that as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to whosoever believes. And so that song, let every heart prepare him room. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight, just briefly. I want you to notice some characters in the stories. Of course, these are different times that these things are happening. And the book of Matthew really talks about the lineage of the Messiah coming through David, coming to Joseph and Mary. We have a genealogy there in the very beginning. We're not going to look at that. Genealogies would bore you to tears. But when we come to verse 18 in Matthew chapter 1, we're introduced to this situation, a man named Joseph. You know him probably very well. Verse 24 and 25, I want to focus our attention on for just a moment. Listen to what happens when Joseph hears the news. The Bible says, Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Hold your finger there. And over in Luke, we're going to look at Mary's response to the news. Mary, you are going to have a son by the Holy Spirit. And your husband's not going to understand. And people are going to talk. And this is not what you signed up for. But I love what God's word says. Her response to the angel. Probably not like most of our responses to the news. We start in verse 26. And we'll see her response. Now, she was betrothed to Joseph, but they had not consummated their marriage yet. They had not been together. The angel comes and says to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." He tells her about her son. You will conceive in your womb, verse 31 says, and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary asked questions in verse 34. How is this possible? I have never been with a man. The angel explains it to her as best that he can, as best as she can understand. And then the Bible says in verse 38, and Mary said, listen, the servant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I want you to think about those two responses to some really, really staggering news for both of them, Mary and Joseph. But it was the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came through, for Joseph, it was in a dream, but he appeared, the messenger of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, told Joseph what was going to happen. And then the angel also talks to Mary, we see in the Bible, and she receives that message. And both of them, when they hear the news, they respond in such a way as to make room for Jesus, to receive him, to accept him, to make in their hearts room for him. They receive the word of the Lord. But then there are others in this story that don't make room, that don't respond favorably in two different instances. In Luke chapter 2, well, we'll just stay here in Matthew since we're already there. In Matthew chapter 2, in verse 1 through 14, we discover that these wise men came from the east and they're looking for. Now, these were not Jewish people. These were not God-fearers. These were astrologers and scientists type of guys. They were constantly looking to the heavens. You ever heard of, like, when people talk about, you know, they have a friend or a child or someone in their family whose head is always in the clouds, right? They're on another level. And that was these guys. They were from far away, and they came because they saw the star, and they were following the star, and they were looking for the King of the Jews. Who is the one that's going to be born, that has been born King of the Jews? And they thought, if we go to the authorities of the Jews, they will know. Because obviously they've been expecting this coming Messiah. So we discover that the Magi have prepared room in their hearts. At least they're seekers, they're looking. But when they come to those who should have been looking, they find that the king, Herod, and the people in Jerusalem are surprised. They're not just surprised, they're frightened. They don't know what they're talking about. What are you guys talking about? And so Herod, as we read earlier, he schemes. He's like, hey, I want to worship him too. Tell me when you find him, and I want to meet you there, and I want to worship him. But they knew better. So we see all of these different groups of people, the people of Jerusalem who would have been awaiting a Messiah, and they were expecting someone militant, someone who was going to deliver them militarily from the bondage of the Romans, and Herod, who was surprised. And we find out in chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, that Herod has to say, hey, where was the Messiah supposed to be born? So everybody goes in and they dust off their Old Testaments, and they look and they say, well, yeah, it's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Herod's like, oh, okay. So there are people in this story who are expecting something, and then those who aren't. And then those, when they receive the news, just like we do, when we receive news that's crazy, respond in different ways. There are two expected or unexpected arrivals that the gospel talks about. The first one is the one that we're reading about, the incarnation. When Jesus comes, nobody expected it. No one expected it. And how did they respond? Some responded in faith, some responded in disbelief. He's going to come again. There's a second unexpected arrival of Jesus when he comes again, and he won't come in the same way. And so two things I want you to take away from the night when you leave. An understanding these two unexpected arrivals. When we look at the way Jesus was unexpected in his birth, the way that he was received, and the surprise to many people, imagine what these wise men must have thought. There's a song by Down Here called How Many Kings? And they say, that speaking as these magi, they say, follow the star to the place unexpected. Would you believe After all we've projected, a child in a manger, lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? How many kings come down from their thrones? How many lords abandon their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? And how many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only one. Only one has done that for me. Imagine the surprise when they reached a manger. Imagine the surprise of understanding what was going on. And they probably didn't at first. You know, the gospel is a mystery, the Bible says. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, the gospel is, it's unreasonable, it's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who believe, those who are being saved, it is the wisdom of God and the power of God. No one could have written this story the way that it's written in God's word. Someone said to me once, I think it was even a member here at Grace Fellowship Church, who said, when you think about the foolishness of the gospel and just how crazy the message of the gospel is, that God would come down and clothe himself in flesh and be vulnerable, it's too weird to not be true. Like in our own wisdom, we couldn't write that story. We would come up with something spectacular. Something crazy. Jesus would come. Of course he would come in might. Of course he would come to rule and to reign. Of course he would come with 10,000 angels. Of course he would never go to the cross and die for our sins and do anything like that. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one who spoke all this into existence. And to debase himself and to humble himself to a manger and then to a cross, to a crown of thorns. I want to read the words of a man named Max Lucado, who wrote something years ago. I'm not a Max Lucado fan. I don't read Max Lucado, but he wrote something that's very interesting in talking about the humanity of Jesus. I want to read it to you. Some of these things are going to make you squirm a little bit, but I'll get to my point in the end. It's called Just a Moment. It all happened in a moment, a most remarkable moment. As moments go, that one appeared no different than any other. If you could somehow pick it up off the timeline and examine it, it would look exactly like ones that have passed while you've been reading these words. Talking about me. It came and it went. It was preceded and succeeded by others just like it. It was one of the countless moments that have marked time since eternity became measurable. But in reality, that particular moment was like no other. For through that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became man. While the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent, in one instant, made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God had come near. He came not as a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no hoopla. Were it not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. And were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. Angels watched as Mary changed God's diaper. This is the part I cringe at, by the way. Theologically, some of these things bother me. The universe watched with wonder as the Almighty learned to walk. Children played in the street with him, and had the synagogue leader in Nazareth known who he was listening to, his sermons. Jesus may have had pimples. That's an encouragement for all you teeny boppers out there. He may have been tone deaf. Encouragement for me. Perhaps the girl down the street had a crush on him, or vice versa. It could be that his knees were bony. One thing's for sure, he was, while completely divine, completely human. For 33 years, he would feel everything you and I ever feel and ever felt. He felt weak. He grew weary. He was afraid of failure. He was susceptible to willing women. He got colds, burped, and had body odor. An encouragement to you teenage men. His feelings got hurt. His feet got tired and his head ached. To think of Jesus in such light, Licato says, well, it seems almost irreverent, doesn't it? It's not something we like to do. It's uncomfortable. It's much easier to keep the humanity out of the incarnation. Clean the manure from around the manger. Wipe the sweat out of his eyes. Pretend he never snored or blew his nose or hit his thumb with a hammer. He's easier to stomach that way. There's something about keeping him divine that keeps him distant, packaged, and predictable. But Licato says, don't do it. For heaven's sake, don't. Let him be as human as he intended to be. Let him into the mire and muck of our world. For if we will let him in, he can pull us out. Only when we let him in can he pull us out. Listen to him. Love your neighbor was spoken by a man whose neighbors tried to kill him. The challenge to leave family for the gospel was issued by one who kissed his mother goodbye in the doorways. Pray for those who persecute you came from the lips that would soon be begging God to forgive his murderers. I am with you always are the words of a God who in one instant did the impossible to make it all possible for you and for me. It all happened in a moment, he writes. In one moment, a most remarkable moment, the Word became flesh. And then he also says there will be another, as I spoke of earlier, another moment. The world will see another instantaneous transformation. You see, in becoming man, God made it possible for man to see God. When Jesus went home, he left the back door open, Licato writes. As a result, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The first moment of transformation went unnoticed by the world. But you can bet your sweet September, he says, that the second one won't. The next time you use the phrase, just a moment, remember, that's all the time it will take to change this world. Isn't that good? I want to encourage you in a couple ways. Given the reception that Jesus had and the scene at the manger that we see, sometimes, even as believers, we do polish it up really well, don't we? Christmas time. We have these great expectations of everything falling into place just right. You know, you burn the cake, you burn the turkey, people aren't on time, kids aren't ready to go, whatever. Do you know what I did right before we got here? So we wanted to have this thing ready, you know, opened up and so we could practice at 4 o'clock because everything was starting at 5. And so the laptop that we used to power the presentation and everything, it's still hanging on, but it was sitting on the piano bench in our living room. We've been working on some stuff and I grabbed it and I guess I'm losing grip or something like that, I don't know, but I dropped it. And it cracked the screen all the way across. Whew. That's one of those things that'll mess up your Christmas, right? Man, we want Christmas to be all polished up and perfect, and we want everything to just go the way that we planned, and we have all these plans. But listen, the first Christmas wasn't like that. Jesus was born in a manger, and his father was a young carpenter, and his mother was probably a teenager who was surprised by the message, but received it in faith and said, yes, Lord. And Joseph said, yes, Lord. And the shepherds said, yes. And the magi, the wise men, said, yes. They made room in their heart. And it wasn't as though they carved out a piece of their heart and said, Jesus, I'll let you into this part of my life, a religious part of my life. Because there were many others that would come and Jesus would offer salvation to, and they would come and they would say, we will follow you wherever you go. We'll do whatever you want. Give us the gift of eternal life. And he said, it's going to cost you everything. Because I don't want a corner of your heart. I don't want a piece of your time. I want to be the Lord of your life. In order to truly receive him, we have to make him Lord. We have to give him our whole heart. We have to, and all the things that it's going to disrupt in our life, just like in Mary and Joseph's life, those were not easy decisions for them to make. It changed their entire life. Think of Mary, every moment that she knows that her son is going to go to the cross and provide payment for our sin on the cross, knowing that he's going there. It's like waiting for a loved one to die. And not a peaceful death, but a criminal's death and a horrific death. Inviting Christ into our life is not easy. Faith is simple. It's just receiving the gift of salvation. But man, that's just the beginning. So I want to invite you tonight. I want to ask you some questions to think about as we go, and then I'll pray. Does your view of Christ and your view of Christmas, is it all polished up? Or do you know that Jesus is the Son of God, condescended from heaven, and has been through every situation and more that you've been through? And that he's not ashamed of you. He doesn't look at you as someone who is distant and far off, but he sees you and he understands exactly what you went through. He was tempted as we're tempted. He experienced pain and discomfort the same way that we do. Do you have a clear picture of Jesus and who he is? Do you have a clear picture of that next moment? Do you have assurance of the next moment? Nobody was ready when Jesus came the first time, and I guarantee you, and God's word guarantees us, no one will be ready when he comes again. No one knows the day. No one does. And we try to figure it out, and we get in Revelation, we try to work out these things, but the Bible says no one will know the day. Is your heart ready for him? Will you be ready for him? And if you know that day is coming, how does that knowledge change the way you live right now? Do you sing that hymn in your heart, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus? Are you ready for his return? So I'm going to pray. I just want you to think about those two things when we leave. And we wish you guys a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And lots of fun tomorrow, thinking about Jesus, spending time with your family. Would you stand with us? We're going to pray, and then you can be dismissed. I'm going to invite you to just turn on your little lights today and take those out with you. It is dark, and I'm not sure how much light that's going to provide for you as you go. But we're just going to end in prayer, and then you guys hang around. There's cookies and coffee in the back, and we wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. For the time of worship we've had tonight, Father, you are not a God who is unaware, unacquainted with our grief. And that's really the message of the baby in the manger, that you know us. And God, you are holy and you are perfect, but in your wisdom you came down is the only way to save us from our sins. You provided payment that we couldn't. So Lord, help us understand your holiness, but also let us understand that your Son knows everything that we go through. And let our Christmas not be so stressful and trying to make things just right. But Lord, let us love on one another. Let us spend times of quiet and relaxation with one another, just talking to family, holding our loved ones closely, spending time with our children and grandchildren and cousins, aunts, uncles, friends. And that we would focus on your Son Jesus this season. God, that we would live expectantly, that we would be looking, that we would be sharing the good news with people around us, that Jesus is coming again, and that now is the time to make room, that now is the time to give our hearts and our lives to him, because on that day when he comes again, it will be too late. It will be too late to decide. Give us that urgency as we go as well. Thank you for the peace that you give through your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.